Good morning. I call to order the Committee on Budget and Appropriations with a listening quorum present at this point. Now, we're going to start the discussion on at least one item on the agenda. We have, first of all, let me remove from the agenda the third item from the bottom, the memo of log, Westchester County Healthcare Corporation, correction mental health contract. We are requesting more information on this item, so I will be removing that item from the agenda.
3166. Oh, 3166, removed. Okay.
That item will not be discussed today. Ms. Fertig, for the record, you would introduce yourself and what you're here for.
Sure. My name is Marlene Fertig, Executive Director of the Westchester County Youth Bureau, and I'm here to discuss the IMA with the municipalities of Greenberg and Tarrytown, Sleepy Hollow.
All right, and please go right along. This is a renewal, pretty much. We've done this before.
It began, actually, just to give you a little history about the Tarrytown intermunicipal agreement. Last March 2009, the Boys and Girls Club of Northern Westchester, through their board, pulled out of the Tarrytown Sleepy Hollow summer camp program. That they're pulling out, they gave the Tarrytown residents more than, I would say probably more than 5 months' notice, but it created a tremendous hardship for more than 100 families who felt that they would lose their job if they didn't have adequate child care or summer camp. The summer camp had always been in collaboration with the town of, with the two municipalities of Sleepy Hollow and Tarrytown. We stepped in and asked that funding be given because a group of concerned citizens mobilized and said that they saw the need for the summer camp. It not only provided summer camp for more than 110 young people, but it also provided youth employment for the camp counselors. So in working with Superintendent Howard K. Smith of Tarrytown, myself, and a group of concerned citizens who had already raised $50,000 on their own, they had a shortfall of $17,280. So I had appealed to our county legislators, could we not make that happen for that area? So by the time the paperwork and everything was completed, it was actually after the camp when they saw the problem. So what happened was it was submitted in November, late November 2009, and with the change of the administration, it got kicked back. It never got resolved. So that's why I'm here before you, almost now with the new camp season upon us.
All right, so time is of the essence to make sure that this funding is available for this summer.
Well, this is for last summer, to clean up last summer's bills. As you see, the agreement was from July 6, 2009 the agreement ends June 30th, 2010. So that's why we wanted to make sure we had this in place. There is coming up for this summer, but that's not been...
move forward.
Right. Then the second part of this is the IMA for the town of Greenberg, which was a program that was done last year and just completed last Saturday with a graduation, and that was a program called Blue Nile Rites of Passage, which targeted Black and Latino males with different risk factors, which was wildly successful. They had a culmination of graduation parents, and many people joined in last Saturday.
So you're speaking on the second item already,
yes.
3113. That item is supposed to be jointly reviewed with the Committee on Community Services, which is not in session at this moment, but in the interest of time, if the members can report back that this is, and this is a $45,000, and here's Chairwoman.
I apologize.
Rita.
Mr. Chair, can I ask one question?
Yes.
About 3115. Quick question for you. Will those funds, because it was for last year's IMA to make that whole, will that be out of leftover funds from our 09 budget or this budget?
No, 09.
09.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
And that's a very good clarification. On that particular item that is only for budget and provision, Mr. Bold.
Last year's contract did not have an IMA.
I'm sorry.
Last year's contract did not have an IMA attached to it. Why does this contract have an IMA?
It was in the monies in 2009 was placed into DSS budget. Then we had to do a transfer of funds with DSS into the Youth Bureau. That's right. That is correct.
And what was the term of that contract last year?
The term of the contract was for different programs that county legislators deemed appropriate for youth services. And we can get you a copy of that full contract. That was transferred from DSS, and I don't have the dates before me, but that was an interdepartmental agreement between DSS and the Youth Bureau.
Can we get a copy of that contract?
Sure.
Thank you.
And I should send it directly to you, Mr. Bowman?
As a matter of fact, I would like that to be clarified, because this item should go on the agenda tonight, right? And pending that information.
Okay, we'll get it to you.
Yeah, as soon as possible. All right, on item 3115, members, unless there is an objection, I think a motion is in order.
Sorry.
And again, with the understanding we're talking about last year, special mm-hmm. circumstances, and we has happened in the past. We dived in to save the youth program pretty much and to make it whole. And that is my understanding. Wow, Bob, you're really getting loud. a motion from Mr. Harkin, second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, move forward. 3115. Chairwoman Williams has joined us. Unfortunately, the members are jumping all over the place among meetings this morning, but she's listening as chairwoman of the committee and would bring it to session. So pretty much, Ms. Fertig was reporting, Alfreda, that this item that we are supposed to be reviewing jointly, Blue Nile Rites Passage, culminated, when did you say?
It actually was completed last Saturday, the graduation at the Ted Young Center.
Yes, I attended that.
Right. And all right. One of my staff people, Avro Edwards, was there on behalf of the Youth Bureau.
All right, and on this item, members, for discussion purposes, otherwise a motion is in order for budget and appropriation.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Chairwoman Williams would do comment decision when she gets enough members in, but the item is moved forward. Favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Both items move forward. Thank you so much, Ms. Thank Berkley.
Thank you so much.
And you had a witness at the combination of your
yes.
The best witness to have.
Thank you. So and we'll get that contract to Mr. Bowman
yes, thanks
and
so
to
much.
You today.
All right, we're going to move right along with the pay plan amendment for Forensic Act, and our senior 88 is here. For the record, both of you can introduce yourself.
John George, First Deputy District Attorney.
Donna Rattucci, Chief Administrator.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And this was an item that we discussed at budget time, so just bring us up to date with any changes or anything that you want to inform the committee about.
Well, at this point in time, it's taken a while to get this position certified. We've worked through HR to do it. With respect to our original submission to them, there have been some changes. They have downgraded the position after doing, I guess, an audit with respect to the type of work that will be done. We're going to go along with it. We're not so sure we're going to be able to ultimately fulfill it with fill the position with a person who has the experience that we hope to get, but we're going to try. So we'll see how it goes. The position is a non-competitive executive, non-represented management position. It's a grade 13 at this point. And it will be a new title added to the cabinet of the county's pay plan.
Is this the position that we agree that would come directly from
seized assets?
Yes,
And to update you on that aspect of it, we had immediately, this is going back now in November, submitted that to the United States Treasury Department with respect to seeking approval of using seized assets funding for the purpose of paying for the first year, as we indicated we would attempt to do. The feds have not gotten back to us even as of yet, and the reason being is that they say that they are doing a reevaluation of their entire procedure with respect to allowing that type of expenditure out of seized assets. So it's not specific to our question, but it's delaying the answer to our question. Previously, they were fairly good with allowing at least 1 year startup with respect to new positions where they would allow it, and now they're looking, because I'm assuming what's happening on a national level is what we're seeing here, as local municipalities are cutting back on expenses, they're looking to fund positions through these seized assets, and the feds are reevaluating that. So that's the answer that they've given us so far. The year is now half over in any event, so we're and you can see where the salary range, I don't know if you have it.
This is the lower scale
this,
of a yeah, 13, right?
So now we're talking, was it 69.1 to 99.265 is the range. The original range that we had submitted would have been 92 to 118. So now
so this is prorated for the
now it's going to be prorated for only half the year anyway. So now we're not talking about a lot of money for the first year in any event. You could potentially be talking about as little as $35,000-$40,000, and then plus whatever the fringe are with that. So
right.
You know, we're down anyway. So we don't have an answer yet.
But it is
we need the pay plan.
It is a 13, and you have suggested what the position is a level 13.
Yes.
Right?
Right, and we're going to move on with that. We're satisfied with what HR did in arriving with that.
But what was the original proposal?
The original proposal was for 16.
16. All right, listen, that's an understanding, and I guess it was negotiated, Mr. Burt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we don't have permission from the feds, are we going to take this then out of tax levy?
Well, we would be able to pay for it with our existing funds, so it wouldn't be. We would not ask for any increase.
Oh, you just moved some unexpected town money around.
Right, we will not ask for any extra money with respect to it. And also, again, for the fact that the year is half over, cuts the expenditure in half at this point anyway. And even now, it'll probably be less yet, because by the time we get this done and get somebody hired, for all I know, it could be September. So it might only be the last quarter of the year. We have the funding. We will not be asking for any additional funds from the county with respect to this, either way.
How had we been handling the forensic accounting issue previously?
We have a consultant that we hire on a contract, but this, we have found that now to be insufficient going forward. The amount of work is overwhelming, and the fact that she is not available to us 7 days a week makes it extremely difficult. We have to be limited in terms of her contract as to how much she could be utilized. And with the amount of financial crime now, especially in this area of mortgage fraud, with the foreclosures that are being filed in the county, we have a number of big investigations. It's just been too difficult. We have to move forward. We're getting somebody on staff that we can have available for the assistants to talk to 7 days, at least the 5 days a week.
Yep. And Mr. George, for the interest of the committee, if you can update, the DA was very specific as to what this forensic accountant was going to be utilized. So can you just update us as to the holistic purpose is?
Yeah, I think that the one important thing that we had pointed out at the time when we had asked for the creation of the position at the budget time was that we expect this position to be cost effective, that we will return back to the county more money than the county will give us with respect to the creation of this position. And that has, in fact, we just updated the county with respect to what we have in the pipeline. And just as a way of example, this is sales tax, which is being returned back to the county based upon audits that we do, working with the State Department of Taxation and Finance. We have $64,000 coming back from one case that dealt with the pizzeria. It was a children's clothing store where we were recouped $27,363. We have a gas station that was investigated. That has resulted in $160,721 coming back to the county. This is all in lost sales tax revenue. And in addition to those figures, we are also returning funds back to the state. So this is part of the Crimes Against Revenue program that the state has encouraged the district attorneys to be part of.
We get that sort of money for our...
We get it back to your general fund.
Yeah, but we get that as a percent and a half on the total sales tax charge?
That is the amount that we've returned back to the county, yes. Or in the pipeline to come back. Right. That represents the county sales
tax. The county share of the... So the sales tax is a lot more.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're pulling this in for the state. Hmm?
You're pulling it, yes, for the
You're
state.
Pulling,
and we're pulling it in for the state.
And they sent you a thank you note?
The state has also funded some positions for us, so we get something from them, too.
Mm-hmm. Have they sent you a thank you note?
You say that they've been approached.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or members of Mr. Hart?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You had mentioned that you were a little concerned that the amount was low and you were worried about getting somebody of quality for this salary. Mm-hmm. Would you expand on that, please?
Well, when we had done a survey last year in terms of looking at some of the other district attorney's offices in the area as to what they were paying their forensic accountants, it was at a range which was what we were suggesting for the Westchester position. So we felt that if that was the going rate out there for an accountant coming into government service, that we should be competitive with respect to that. We're now going to be under it. We won't be substantially under it at the top of the pay grade, so it may be possible that we might have to start somebody maybe not at the lower end of the salary, but more towards the upper end of it. But I think it's still going to be a little bit more difficult to find somebody. We may not find somebody with the type of experience we were hoping for. We may have to find somebody maybe starting out that we can train. But as long as they have the certifications that we need and they meet the quals, we're still confident that it's going to be an asset to the office and it will help us. So we're going to live with it. We decided that we're going to go forward with it as recommended and just to get the ball rolling here.
Okay. If you have problems... We'll beyond that, please come
yes,
back to
we
us.
Yes, we will, and we look for an upgrade.
Because this is a revenue saver slash generator.
It is.
As you recover lost taxation, so. Mm-hmm.
Right, and again, it was something that I remember Mr. Kalfowitz was very interested in and actually spoke directly to the DA about. Mm-hmm. And if it has changed, and again, I respect the agreement with the administration at this point, but if it's not getting us what we expect, then that's what we're here for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other areas besides sales tax that we're working on for recoveries?
Yes. There's other areas. The sales tax is actually specific to the county because that's one of the revenue taxes that the county has out there that in these types of cases comes up in terms of recovery. But there's other funds that are recovered, non-county funds. These individuals also work on cases where we may be recovering funds to benefit victims of crimes as well. So they would go back to the victims of the crime in terms of restitution.
You'd mentioned mortgage fraud.
Mortgage fraud in particular would be one of those types of crimes.
And do you have active cases in that
yes,
area?
Yes, we do. We have several.
That happens to be my committee, and I'm very interested in hearing that we are active in that area.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of hostility out there, and it would be nice. Yes, it would be nice to make an example of somebody publicly.
We have a case that's a large-scale case that's actually pending now as a criminal prosecution, but we are limited in the mortgage fraud area solely by our lack of resources to pursue the cases. They are very labor-intensive. There are usually boxes and boxes of papers and computer records and that type of thing. So we're limited by our resources. We have applied for funding through Senator Schumer's office with respect to a federal program to see if we can receive additional funding. That has not been determined yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, unless there are any other comments, a motion is in order.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Burton. Second by Ms. Freckman. And again, this is an item that had a severe discussion on our budget hearings last year. Thank you so much for attending. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank
opposed?
You.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Okay, good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, we do have some minutes, members. Just make sure when you're ready to move them, I'll be delighted to accept the motion.
Mr. Chairman, just in the meantime, a little housekeeping. I was looking at, I know that you removed for our discussion today item 3166.
Yes.
Just a question. It reads, a memorandum of legislation recommending, quote, an act amending the current. When we actually, a memorandum of legislation is in fact a document, which I don't see in the package, but I do see a proposed act together with a committee report. And I'm just curious as to why the item reads differently.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Mr. Boland did catch up on that, and as a matter of fact, we had more information coming in this morning that I have recommended to go into the community services and budget appropriations committee. That's why you're on the ball, and that's the reason why we are actually not entertaining that item, because it needs some clarification.
Oh, no, but my point was, whether we entertain it or not, the actual item in the package is a proposed act with committee report.
It's a, may I say?
Yes.
It has to be corrected, to say.
Right, yeah. That's what threw me when I looked at it.
Okay, and it will be corrected, and again, we have some more information that has come in this morning, and that's, it wasn't right. That's the reason why it's not being entertained. So you are correct, Mr. Ryan. Moving right along, I guess we'll go to item 3114, Act of Mortgage Tax Receipts. Mr. Boland,
I believe that someone should be here.
All right, let's... Bob, we will...
I just wanted to point
okay.
out that in 2004, the mortgage tax receipts were $86 million. As of 2009, down to $26 million.
Wait, what are those figures again?
In 2004, revenue that was distributed to locals was $86 million. As of 2009, it's down to $26 million. So the locals, I hope that they are judging the revenue to reflect this drop in mortgage tax revenue.
And we're talking about to date in the first quarter, Bob, or
yes.
Okay.
So that was that's a quarter to quarter comparison.
It's a year. A year.
I'm sorry, it's a year-to-year comparison.
Okay. Year 2009, I'm just saying there's a tremendous drop. The locals should be.
Oh, they're keenly aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you three of them that are completely freaked out.
This is for the review of the committee only, right, Bob?
Yes.
Any other highlight part that you want to mention to the committee, other than the obvious one?
All we're doing here is we're accepting the report of the Finance Committee, and I think it's appropriate to Mr. Chairman to my apologies.
That's it. Yeah. All right. A motion, and this is only committee action to accept the report from the administration members. So
second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Just keep talking to the local municipalities. I happen to only have one. A quarter of one, anyway. But I know a lot of the members do represent different municipalities, and this shouldn't come as a surprise, but just in case, you know, we got to keep people, our constituents, informed. All right, moving right along. I don't know, just give you a breather. We have item 3172, local law retirement incentive.
Do the bottom one.
All right. At this point, then I'm going to ask our colleague, Mr. Nona, per your request, I added to the agenda item 3177. Would you join us, please?
Sure, thank you.
Bond Act RHM01, Miller House Restoration, Bond Act amending number 150-2006, the amount of $100,000 to restore historic structures and historic landscape for the Miller House. And I know this Miller House should be named / Nona.
Nona House.
then it'll be Miller and Heiser Bush Nona.
Where did that Heiser Bush come
from? From Miller. Miller.
Point.
All right.
You know what you did this weekend.
Actually, it was Coors. So it was both of them. Mr. Nunn.
Okay. The Miller House is a historic structure on the National Register of Historic Places and the State Register of Historic Places. It's owned by the county. It's located currently on Virginia Road in an industrial area across the street from a cement plant. It has historical value. There's some dispute as to whether Washington actually used it as his headquarters or not. That dispute is not worth getting into because Washington was there. He apparently conducted a court-martial there. The house also has historic value because of the Miller family and the women of the Miller family who supported the troops during the Battle of White Plains. While their husband and brothers were away at war. So it definitely has historic value, and it's been in a dilapidated condition, as legislator Ryan and I know, because we've been there for a number of years. It's gonna collapse unless it's repaired. A number of years ago, 2 years ago, after I first got elected, then Chairman Ryan and I worked on getting a bond proposal put together to deal with assessing what repairs need to be done plus the cost of the repairs. So at that time, $100,000, there was in the capital plan a total of $1,300,000 set aside for this project. $100,000 was bonded in order to do the study, and there's an extensive study of what repairs are necessary. If anybody wants to see it, it's here. The study was done. The study also looked at the possibility of moving the house, which is something the county Parks and Recreation Department was interested in doing because the location, current location, is really unsuitable for any large-scale visiting or have school children attend. There's no room for school buses to park. At one time, the Miller House was visited very frequently by school children throughout the county. To learn about the Revolutionary War. So subsequent to the preparation of the report, the matter came on before the Budget and Appropriation Committee again for bonding the $1.2 million for the repairs. At that time, the issue was raised about moving the house, and it was the Bond Act was not passed for $1.2 million because there was going to be some further consideration about moving it and where it could be moved. The town of North Castle, and particularly the people of North White Plains, did not want to lose this historic structure from their community. So the Parks and Recreation Department identified a piece of property near the Kensico Dam Plaza in the town of Newcastle and in the hamlet of North White Plains where this house could be moved. So there's been some further work done to determine what the cost of moving the house was and whether the area by the dam was suitable, and it is suitable. So a new estimate was prepared as to the cost of repair plus moving, and that total cost was $2 million. One of the issues with that cost is it included a $250,000 visitor center, which nobody thinks we really need to spend the money on. So the cost is about $1,750,000 for the repairs and the move. Now, I've had meetings with the town of North Castle, the supervisor, the historic committee, their town historian, and North Castle is committed to trying to raise the remainder of the funds necessary for the move privately, through private donations.
Remainder beyond the total of $1.3 million from us.
Yeah, now $1.2 million.
Yeah, because we already spent $100,000. Yeah.
There's still some money left. There's about $40,000 left of the $100,000. So it's $1 million. We would put in $1 million. We would pass the bond for $1.2 million, and the remainder of approximately $550,000 would be raised through private donations, including corporate donations. I mean, North Castle is putting together a plan to seek funding, the rest of the funding, including approaching some of its corporate residents like IBM and Swiss Reinsurance and other companies like that that have their headquarters in North Castle and then go beyond that. So that's the proposal, is that we proceed to pass the bond for $1.2 million, so that money's available, and as North Castle puts together its fundraising plan. But and we need confirmation from Public Works and Parks and Recreation for this, but we need to spend some money to do some repairs. The roof is about to collapse, and those repairs can be done before the house is moved. So we need to get started on the repairs. And I certainly defer to Legislator Ryan, who also is very familiar with this project.
Mr. Alvarado, not to go over the very good explanation summarizing where we've been with the Miller House that Mr. Nolan just gave, but it comes down to the rehabilitation, the preservation of the historic structure. And I'd like to put on the record that having represented the area, having been involved with historical societies in not only the North Castle but also White Plains and Westchester County's unit, there's a tremendous amount of interest in rehabilitating this structure, preserving it. Different opinions as to moving it, but I think if it's moved and it's put into an area in close proximity to where it originally existed, it's not going to be all that different than what North Castle did years ago when it assembled a group of historic structures up on Route 22 that are different from their original sites, than what White Plains did years ago when it moved the Jacob Purdy House from down here in the valley up to the heights in the northern part of White Plains, where it sits today, where we've done in this county with different structures, and other communities across Westchester have done with certain structures where the original location just is no longer suitable. So I think that all of the things that are being discussed pretty much are the checklist items. There is a cost associated with all of this. There has not been over the 10 years that I've been familiar with it an outcry to stop this. This is unnecessary. There has been nothing like that. I think it's recognized to be a structure that needs to be preserved. It has its place in local area history, and I think that Mr. Nolan is correct. We need to get going sooner rather than later, or we're going to lose the entire structure.
Yes, I do notice that the total estimated ultimate cost at $2.5 million, with the other year being 2013, and I think that's what Bob, I have you.
Can I just respond? That 2.5 is wrong. That is an old estimate that included, that was before the estimate that proposed the move. That 2.5 million included a keeping the house at the old site and building a 40-foot high wall to protect it from the cement plant at a cost of $700,000. So that's no longer, and I didn't
see. All right, no, we're just bringing it up because I'm looking at the document.
The document's wrong.
In the other years. It may not be wrong. It may need to be amended, and we may need to take this from a forecasted amount in 2013. Mr. Bowen.
Yes, we just received the proposed 2011 capital budget, and the amount now is, let's say, for the outer years, is up to $2,075,000. The monthly cost of $3,375,000.
Can you say that again?
I just received the 2011 capital budget.
Right.
And that number, John, in the outer years, they raised it now to $2,075,000.
They didn't raise it. They lowered it from the 2.5. It did not raise. It's lowered. Because the estimate you have on the proposal before you is 2.5. And the current total proposal for moving it and the rehabilitation, and I don't know, I mean, I provided this to the chair, I don't know why it's not attached to your documents. It's 2.075,000. That's 2,075,000, and that includes the move. Now, why I said it was 1,075,000 total, because this has to be amended, because this includes, as I mentioned, a $250,000 visitor center, which is going to be taken out.
Well, what I'm saying to you, John, is that the 2011 proposed budget ultimate cost now is up to $3,375,000.
But I don't know where that number is. I don't have any document that has that number on it. Where are you getting that? Who's put that in there?
It was put in by Parks. Now, this is the proposed 2011 budget, which we will review this week.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know where they got that.
All right. You're saying that's a wrong number.
Yeah. Let's leave it like that. We know for a fact when we are reviewing this item, Bob, just keep it in mind that this is the total cost that you are talking about now, right? At the amount that you mentioned, and that this estimate expense for 2013 should come off, right? And that proposal should not stand. Let me have Ms. Pregnant person.
I'm a little confused.
We all are.
Why, in other words,
I apologize for confusing you all.
Why are we, in other words, I'm not against it, don't get me wrong, but why are we putting this on now if we don't have the right numbers, okay, and you're meeting to discuss it? Does Parks, DPW, the administration, do they have anything to say about
this? On the contrary, I think we have the right numbers at the table. We need to make sure that everything else is in the place to add to this.
I think when you look at the big picture, it's beyond what we're talking about here at the table today, and it also goes back. It reaches back maybe a decade. The big picture contains originally, when you look at things that are confusing people, it originally contains an estimate that was a ballpark figure at best. No one knew exactly what the plan would be, and so the need to preserve the building came attached with a number that was a ballpark figure that got plugged in, and everybody just assumed that that would be the number. Over the years, if that number was changed, in fact, if it was diminished in any way, people started to ask, well, what's going to be shortchanged up there? And they failed to realize that we were starting to get better estimates for what it was that we wanted to do. So fast forward to today, what we have is, we have an overall aggregate proposed bond issue amount. We know that back in 2006, the amount of money that we bonded was $100,000, as John pointed out. Only a portion of that was spent on the report, so there's a little piece of that left. That bond issue, that 2006 bond issue, now has to be amended with this one that will raise that amount to $1.3 million. And as John pointed out, the capital budget covers a larger amount that includes a visitor center. If that's out the window, then you're back down into this 1.7 area with the North Castle commitment that they're going to try to raise money privately so that we don't have to spend more, which is fine. The only thing that I'd like to put on the table, not for today certainly, because this is a capital item, but I'm going to mention an operating item. Over the years, one of the problems with that has not only been location, it's been its availability to the public, to the schools that would be heavy users of it. Years ago, we used to staff it so that the public could attend, go there each day, schools could schedule trips there, and you had, throughout the week, you had a reasonable amount of time when it was open for handling visits. That has not occurred for years. There was a thought years ago that volunteers from the different historical societies would step forward to do that. That's fine, except too often you found that the volunteer scheduled for Tuesday morning wasn't going to be able to make it, and so the open center now was a closed center for Tuesday, and the school bus gets turned back for unexplained reasons. So we need to also develop a plan as to what steps we're going to take to make sure that it's staffed for at least a portion of each week so that people can go and visit the place and actually learn something about what it represents. That translates into 1010.
All right, but I think
but that's for another day.
Yeah, but what Ms. Brackman highlights makes a lot of sense, in the sense that we will be spending the 1.2 million as opposed to 100 that we already spent for the study. And the local municipalities are committed to privately raise the difference to what the actual numbers are today. And you mentioned what is Parks' opinion. I recall in the past everybody being very interested in this project. And so I don't think that interest has changed. So I think the item is properly before us on an item that we have planned and to bring to better utilization at another location within the local municipalities. So I don't know if the administration may be objecting to this, Mr. Nona. You have information that the information that the administration is in agreement with what we're trying to do here?
I'll answer that. If you look at the original capital project fact sheet, it said $1.2 million was appropriated already, right?
Yes.
The administration, per Kevin Plunkett, says if that's already been appropriated, they don't have a problem.
Okay.
What they have a problem is bumping it up, you know, expending more money.
And if anything, we are defeating.
And the original amount was $1.3 million. 100 was bonded for the study to determine what work had to be done, what the problems were, and there's still some money left over that they have it in Parks and Rec. But the other amount was $1.2 million. The total was $1.3 million. 100 was bonded and spent, but $1.2 million in addition was appropriated, and that's already that was already in a prior capital plan. Administration said, well, if it's all, it's already in there, we don't have any objections. So we just have an objection.
And I think that's what you needed to hear, Ms. Frank?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I have you, Mr. Harkin. My apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it was the same train of thought.
Okay, good.
Thank you. No, it's your prerogative, and we were thinking alike. to that point, one, I think Legislator Nona and Legislator Ryan deserve a lot of credit. We've been talking about this for almost 2 years now.
Right.
And the fact that they have whittled down the cost. I know John was the one who tossed out the wall, right, the visitor center, and now we've got a private sector contribution. I think both legislators have worked quite hard to whittle the cost down. Historically, what we've done in the past is if there's been a typographical error, a numerical error, we've still passed things out of this committee with the caveat that it gets fixed before it goes to the floor. And I think this would be a case like that. These old buildings, I have a number of them in my district, and when they go fast. And, right, and we've been talking about this for 2 years. You know, when John came in, this has been a priority for that district. And I won't make the motion because it's their baby, but I would suggest to this committee that we pass this out now with the caveat that we fix the numbers on the fact sheet. But I think we've got to get to work on this thing because when they go fast.
Thank you. If I can just add, thank you. And the reason, like I said, the only reason for the delay was to examine the ability to move the house, mm-hmm, and to get the local people, the North Castle and the people of North White Plains, comfortable with the idea that it could be moved within their town, not taken away from the area where it was located, and we were able to locate a site. So we had to find a site, and then we had to, the parks and DPW had to cost out what the price of the move would be. And that's what took the time to get from where we were about a year and a half ago in early 2009 to here.
Yeah, I'll go back to the motion, Mr. Harkin. You will be able to second because Mr. Nona is not a sitting member of this committee. But I think at this point a motion is in order. And remember, the what we're moving forward with is $1.2 million left from the appropriation of $1.3 million, $100,000 already spent, or at least being allocated to parks for to examine the options that are at the table today. So at the table we have the accurate information. What would happen in the future is that the 2013 allocation will be removed along with any other allocations on this particular item that were proposed and so on and so forth. So as with that understanding, a motion for Mr. Ryan.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded by Mr. Harkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Proposed? All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As long as the numbers match, no problems. All right. We have no choice without the... have the members been able to peruse the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Is a motion is in order?
I would move that. Move the minutes.
All right. Move. Is there a second?
Second.
For the minutes. Move and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Both. All right. Minutes are from us admitted. Any changes on a particular message that might have been written in a certain way not approved by the members is still welcome. We have one more item on the agenda, and I really, this one was placed on the agenda at the request of Chairman Jenkins, and it's the Local Law Retirement Incentive forwarding a memorandum of legislation recommending a local law opting into the New York State Temporary Retirement Incentive for County Employees. This would be members... In addition to what we have already done as a legislature regarding incentives, and the general idea here is that from the very beginning, this administration contemplated layoffs for our employees. This would give our employees another opportunity to opt into a retirement option that the state approves. There are some pros and cons to this, and I really want us as members to discuss this if we are to move forward. So I'll just open it for discussion among us. If there's anybody from the administration that wants to address this,
that was going to be my request, actually, if you could hear from the administration before we discuss.
We're not. We wrote the law.
Right.
All right. I had requested the budget director to be here last week. Is he going to be available?
He should be here.
Of course he should.
All right.
Okay.
Bernice, let's discuss that.
All right. My feeling is, you know, what I want is what's best for the county. Okay, I am a county legislator, okay, and all I care about is the bottom line. I don't think we have enough information with figures that'll make me make my decision right now, and I can't.
And Bernice, we're
saying that. I think that we should get an opinion from the law department regarding the timing of this, whether this can be accomplished. Delay this. Why don't we hear from the employer as far as their concern with regards to this?
You know, they had a big meeting with the unions. My son called me up because he's young. He has 20 years. It's not good for you. You have to have over 20 more.
Yeah, please.
But there's not enough numbers. And Yonkers is thinking of opting into it too, but they haven't.
Again. Okay. We did our incentive part, right, which people had to have to obtain by June 1st, right? That was the deadline on it. And I want the committee to understand what this would do if we move forward, which would be open up the gate for any other particular individual that was considering retirement, and this incentive would entice them to take the option. So please, take it from whatever end, and just as...
Well, the thing is, our incentive actually, if you didn't submit your papers by June 1st, you're pretty much out, despite the fact, though. So those people who have already locked into our incentive are already locked in. This incentive, there are two parts to the state's incentive. Yeah. One is... Both of which require a local law to be enacted by the local board of legislators, by this board of legislators, by August 31st, 2010. There are two parts, as I said. There's a part A. The part A is the one where this board can set an open period for between 30 days to 90 days. And for the participation in that particular part, an employee must be in continuous active service of Westchester County from February 1st, 2010 until the date immediately prior to the open period, and be eligible to retire under the membership, under the state membership tier. Or, there's an alternative, you can also be 50 years of age, which normally you cannot be to retire, 50 years of age and have at least 10 years of service credit to be able to participate. Now, as you know, if you're 50 years old, there are penalties if you reduce at that age, but the state has reduced those penalties. There will still be penalties, but they are substantially reduced. For the second part, there's a part B.
Part B.
Yes. Now that is also for a 90-day period, but this open period has been established by the state. And that open period is for October 1st until December 29th.
So you have to, that's the only open period you can have for Part B of the state legislation. We can't normally we the locals can pick the open period, not in this particular case.
Right. Right, we've been joined by Chairman Jenkins.
And there's a difference as to who, which employees are eligible for that open period as well. For that open period, employee must have attained the age of 55 for Part B and have at least 25 years of service in order to be eligible for that part of the incentive.
And I think you get an extra,
there's extra time
month.
Yes. Actually, in both of them, I'm sorry, for the Part A, there is a maximum of 3 years additional service credits for Part B, and for Part A, and for Part B, I'm not sure how much extra time they get, but I believe there's 3 years as well.
It's up to 3 years.
All right. Let me just finish what we started, and then you'll have your decision. The thing is, if we're going to do this, we have to do it now because this is a public hearing time that we would need to set because it'd be in a law, right? So, if we mean to do it, we have to move forward with it. And to that point, Mr. Jenkins, I think is...
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that was exactly the point, is that in order to take advantage of this towards the time frames that we have, putting it on the agenda tonight allows us, and setting the public hearing gives us that time frame that's necessary to do the additional work that is necessary from a financial perspective to see some levels of the impact. We think it might be a positive thing. We kind of have a gut feeling on that based on what we've seen, but... You know, I think that it would be the best move, Mr. Chairman, if it would move forward and then we have that time. We certainly could not do anything, but if we don't set the public hearing today, then we are locked.
Exactly, and keep our options open. And time is of the essence, and we, again, the alternative being layoffs. You know, if we could give a decent option to our senior employees to capture some incentive, it's a decent thing to do from one legislator's perspective. Any other comments, members? Mr. Burton?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
And Mr. Arkin, next.
I am ordinarily really not a big fan of setting on a course of action without knowing what the impact of it is. I am persuaded by the idea that if we put what we have before us on, it is the commitment of leadership that it will be withdrawn if it turns out not to be in the best interest of the county as this board determines. And for that reason alone, I'm more than willing to support this because I think that the Chairman Alvarado's point is that if we don't do this, then come November, we are going to start throwing out all sorts of portions of the baby because we didn't act at this time. So I don't think it's in any way prudent not to do this. And for that reason, I'm prepared to support it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I basically agree with Legislator Burton and Mrs. Spreckman, Legislator Spreckman, to her first point about, you know, what's good for the county. And we're all committed. We know the deficit that we're facing next year. We're all committed to lowering the headcount. And by doing it in a voluntary way, it allows people to control their own destiny, to plan for their future. It also allows our individual departments to plan for next year now in a controlled way. So, you know, I don't see the downside. Again, this is a voluntary thing. And to your point, if we don't act on this now, we lose the opportunity to. So I support this.
And I predict some other incentives, right, regarding resources. Mr. Jenkins, you want to highlight a little bit of what the advantage for the county would be in joining in now regarding expenses?
My understanding in reading through the legislation that is that it gives us a few different options because we know that there's X amount of people that are considering retiring. This really helps us from a cash flow perspective because it allows us to spread the cost over a 5-year period at minimum. There's a question right now that's being researched by our budgets department, and that's both our folks and the administration, to determine whether or not there is an interest rate associated with it. But in speaking with the administration just a few minutes ago, it's my understanding that they're working on an action from the legislature to allow us to bond. So we would obviously get it at the 1% rate that we are allowed to based on our thing. So that's definitely an advantage, but it's also in the legislation that we are making a commitment to reducing the size of the workforce, which I believe all of us would rather do than to see people be laid off. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. With that, Mr. Norton.
Thank you. I just want to mention, I think we should consider this, no question about it, but I just pulled this bill. It's 25 pages of small print. Before we make any final...
No, this is we're moving on with the public hearing.
As I understand Part A, that's got to be taught specific targeted positions, right? So you have to actually, so if we do Part A, you've got to actually say these are the positions that are... Part B is open, though. Anybody would be eligible.
Because of the age group.
And then there's a section of Part A, I don't know if it's a Part B, that says if you have any other retirement center, you have to waive that.
Yeah, except that there is a way... Here's what it is. If you receive any other time or center, but the way this particular piece of legislation has been drafted, pursuant to the direction of the chairman, there is a provision there that allows for an exemption to allow for those employees who participate with our early retirement to receive both. But that's only going to be for those who retire at the end. Right now, the open period...
So the state law would allow you to...
That would allow the employer to elect to exempt those provisions.
So I just caught that position.
Yes.
And again, we're moving into a public hearing, Mr. Nona, so we're not acting on this tonight. Yeah. Just so that we can further read this, we're moving for a public hearing. It could be intense, and I am aware of it.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. But also, just from clarity, we don't have a retirement incentive, right? We have a voluntary separation.
Right.
Yes, but I did run that by the state retirement system, and they did consider, even though we didn't name it as such, they did consider it to be an early retirement incentive that would require to be addressed in our legislation.
But ours does.
Ours does. We did address it.
Did anyone
All right.
Can I just ask one quick question?
Yes.
Did anyone ask the question about... Is there interest on this?
We discussed.
Well, All right, motion is in order. Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, Mr. Alvaro, two things.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need to move the process forward to put us in a position to be able to consider and act on anything that will eventually accrue to our benefit.
Yes.
So that's clear. Chapter 105, as Mr. Nona pointed out, is something that I know we want to go through. Just once again, as I discussed earlier in the meeting, just for tracking purposes, for the fact this is a public document, the 3172, the caption, has got to be changed to reflect what this is. This is a committee report. It's a public hearing resolution, and it's a proposed act. There is only one memo in the package. It's not a memo of recommendation. It's a memo of transmittal from the law department. So what we have here is the way we refer on our agenda here at the committee level as well as the board, when we have an act, we so state that that's what it is.
Right.
If it's a local law, we so state that that's what it is.
So
if it's a resolution, we do that. The way this reads, forwarding a memorandum of legislation recommending. Well, there is no memorandum of legislation recommending anything.
Yeah.
All right, so the caption, we have to be careful about how our captions read on
what
our agenda.
Read?
Oh, actually it would say...
Mr. Chairman, just for clarity, Mr. Ryan is absolutely correct, but at the time the agenda was placed together, the legislation did not exist. So we did have a memorandum of legislation, which is in the package, the agenda package, that was presented on Wednesday. For the white sheet, but this does
right,
need to be clarified
right.
now.
We need to take extra care.
Let's amend how the item
is presented. We need to take extra care to make sure that as this goes through stages, that it accurately reflects what
So
it is.
How should it read
today, that? Today, what we have in front of us is a local law.
Correct.
So how should it read?
Well, the same way, it's just an abbreviated caption. Pick out anything else here that says either act or local law. You'll have what it is. Just put down item number. Put down local law.
And an act offers.
No, it's a local law.
And then it'll say a local law in relation to blah blah blah. Usually it's
okay.
No
so,
more than
so
the
no memorandum of legislation.
Yeah. they'll fix it.
We're forwarding a local law.
So Ms. Chairman, if staff could just make sure that that's...
Yeah, can make sure that...
Because Mr. Ryan's point is accurate, because what will happen is that since that is what came up on the original agenda, mm-hmm. right?
The referral,
it'll continue to be forwarded on, and we want to just make sure it's not a mistake on the agenda this evening. And that's an excellent point.
All right.
So moved.
By Mr. Jenkins, second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I'm watching.
Okay, and one without prejudice. All right, if there are no other items to come before this committee, motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second. Please, I don't want
a second.
Wow.
One minute. The community service needs to come into session, but we can get off session because the item was presented to the chairwoman, and she's very familiar with the item. But a motion to adjourn, but it is in order, Mr. Avenatti.
Mr. Chairman, is this out of budget and community services?
No, just budget.
Is this item joint with budget?
No,
yeah,
the first.
Budget already approved. Huh? Thank you. Yeah. All right, all in favor for adjournment?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, budget stands adjourned. Chairwoman Williams.
Thank you very much.
Wow. A minute to spare.
Oh, it's just the Blue Nile.
Yeah.
What is the history?
I don't even know what happened. I was a little leader.
Remember that.
We did. Okay.
The sign.
Community service is still in session. If you have any conversations, please take it outside. In respect to the community service committee, please. Chairwoman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. All right, the Committee on Community Services is now in order. We have a quorum represented here in terms of Kim and Jenkins, Mr. Burton, and
Ms. Myers.
And we lost our audience and myself.
We'll just move without.
There's one item which is a referral for discussion on the Blue Nile passage, and I believe Legislator Myers has some questions.
No, I don't.
Madam Chairman, you had expressed some pleasure with the graduation which you attended.
Saturday.
Those of us whose minds require refreshment on what the Blue Nile Rite is, perhaps you can answer that?
My pleasure.
The
Blue Nile Rite of Passage is a program for originally started for young men ages, I believe, 13 to 16. And it was started at a church in Manhattan and has to Westchester and is active in Greenberg and in White Plains. It's conducted by the Youth Bureau, and it is a series of 9 months of weekly meetings with those eligible participants and talking in terms of how they maintain respect for themselves, proper attire, manners, decorum, maturity, and to some extent education. They make cultural trips, they've attended programs in Washington and Manhattan and so forth. They also have now a program for the last several years called Females. And it's the same type of program, but in terms of females, there's a lot of emphasis on appropriate non-sexual behavior, kind of. It's hard. Anyway, that young women will know how to handle themselves properly in the company of the opposite sex and try not to be provocative, unnecessarily provocative, that kind of thing.
It's been very well received by the parents whose youngsters participate. The biggest problem has been seemingly once you get the youngsters involved and being willing to get up early on a Saturday morning and come and participate. Mm-hmm. But once they get started in it, they usually follow through very well. And it starts usually in October, runs until the end of May.
And so this money is...
This money is to provide...
So we do pay $45. This was out of our... Was this an ad?
It's in miscellaneous.
This was in miscellaneous. Okay. And this was $45,000
right.
towards it.
Mm-hmm.
What is their ongoing budget? Is it larger than that? Or
No. I'm sorry?
Their ongoing budget?
Yeah.
Because they're expanding the program.
Yeah, they've expanded the program constantly and trying to recruit more and more attendees.
Do they get funding from anyone else, I guess is my
question.
Yes,
they do. Yeah, they get funding from the local municipality.
Oh, in addition to the 45.
Yes.
Got it. Right, and I do recall them coming in.
And I think they, the members also were here... For the
I think that's when I remember.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
They were terrific.
They were very impressive.
Yes, they were.
I'll move this.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the things that are minutes on there, if you guys want more.
Yeah. Okay, we have a set of minutes.
Yes, I did read them. I moved them.
Second.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't
okay.
get through the.
Oh, here's the mutton. What's not?
You go.
Blue Nile, sorry.
Right, cause that, okay. Because that there was
Does anyone
yeah,
else?
No.
Anyone else have any comments?
This has been hanging around for a while. This came through in December 1st.
No, it just came down.
No. But I mean, the SECRE documentation was done December 1st. I mean. It's a while.
Well, new administration.
Exactly.
Yeah, this was all done last year. The issue was that there was there was some problems going with the IMA going to get the IMA going back and forth, but those problems seem to be clarified. So we did it directly with them last year.
Yeah. And let us not call them West Nile.
No, please.
Or Wright, R-I-G-H-T.
Yes, West Nile Wrights and Blue Nile.
Oh, yeah.
Motion to close.
Yes, thank you.
Second.
Alan, so moved and seconded. We stand adjourned.
Very good.
Thank you.
What do we have now?